Welcome back to another episode. My name is Brianna Michonne.
And I am Imani Niabaye.
And welcome to When You're Ready Podcast.
Da, 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 da.
We're super excited to have one of our really great friends here, Imani Uwakwe. Mm-hmm. And Imani is a licensed social worker, therapist, and creative here in the city of Chicago. So, if y'all couldn't tell, the title of this episode is Therapy for the Soul, How Mental Health and Spirituality Align. So, we're going to get into some deep conversation here.
I have a question, though, because I feel like this is for all of us Black and brown folk who have not traditional American names. What are some of the funniest pronunciations of your names that you heard?
What did you say?
I said Uwakwe.
Uwakwe. Uwakwe. You walk away. A lot of people say Imani, you walk away. I was like, that's kind of cute for Instagram, man. But, you know, yes, those are the most, people butcher it all the time. Yeah. And I used to be like, oh, it's okay. But then people are like, no, tell me how to say your name. And I'm like, okay, Uwakwe is how you say my name.
I always knew, like, when I was at the doctor, if they pause, like, I'm going to get up. I already know.
It's like, Imani Nia.
Yeah. I'm here.
Imani Nia?
Bro. I used to be like, with the substitutes?
Yes.
Hated it.
Y'all killing me.
Y'all killing me with this. Okay. So, we can just get right up into this conversation. Mm-hmm. So, could you share a little bit about your background and how your journey led you to becoming a therapist?
Okay. So, I've always liked how it felt to help somebody, whether that was like advice giving or community service or donating in some type of way. Mm-hmm. So when I was in school, well, actually run it back, high school, I went to Kenwood Academy and I took a AP psychology course. Mm-hmm. And shout out Miss Clark. Oh my gosh, shout out to Miss Clark. But Miss Clark was the best AP psychology teacher. I was learning parts of the brain because I was always intrigued, like, why do I act this way? Why do other people act this way? Mm-hmm. Took AP psych, and then I went to Loyola Chicago for undergrad, and I was a psych major. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any minor until I met my advisor. Shout out Ashley. Shout out Ashley.
What's her name, Ashley?
Yeah, shout out Ashley. I think her name. And she was like, with all the classes that you're taking and what you're telling me you want to do, why don't you go into social work? Mm. But I never knew, like, I knew what social work was, but I think when a lot of people think of social work, they automatically think DCFS and like stuff with, like stuff with policy and reform, DCFS, working with kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't know if I really want to do it.
Yeah.
So my sophomore year, I majored in social work with a minor in psych, and I was taking classes like group counseling, basics of social work, and I was like, okay, I really like this, because I thought in order for me to be a therapist, I had to be a psychologist and go through all those years of school.
So
started with social work, and then my master's program, I was taking couples therapy, I was taking spirituality and social work. And I'm so happy I found that course, because my professor was like, we're going off the syllabus. I'm going to teach y'all the real. And I was like, yes, this is what I need. And then I got my internship at my current job, and it just took off. It went up from there. I love it. Mm. I really do love it. I feel like it's an opportunity for me to learn about myself through other people. Like, it's a reciprocal thing. Like, sometimes in sessions, clients will be telling me stuff, and I'll be like, damn, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Check. Nah, I know. It went up.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah.
So how do you personally see the connection between mental health and spirituality, and why is it important to acknowledge both when healing?
Say the question one more time.
No, you're fine. How do you personally see the connection between mental health and spirituality, and why are they important to acknowledge them both in healing?
Okay. So when you think of mental health and spirituality, a lot of people, and probably before I started working, I would separate the two. Mental health is this, spirituality is this. Mm-hmm. But as I started working and throughout my internship and the job, like working in the field now, when you're working on your mental health, you're essentially working on your spirit. You're mm-hmm. working on your soul and stuff like that. And then, you know, you have different interventions that they teach you in school, cognitive behavioral therapy, that's trying to change negative thoughts, change your thought pattern. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, I'm changing my thought pattern for the betterment of my spirit and to feel better about myself, mm-hmm. which is can lessen anxiety or lessen depressive thoughts you have and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to realize that when you're working on, let's say you're going to therapy for anxiety. Mm-hmm. Client tells me I'm having really anxious thoughts. I wake up nervous every day that something's bad is going to happen. You're working on how your brain is talking to you and mm-hmm. how your heart is aligning with that message, because then you'll start to really feel it like, oh my God, I'm waking up, I'm anxious, something bad is going to happen. So you trick your mind mm-hmm. into believing that these things are real.
Right.
And it also makes me think of, there's this term called the monkey mind mm-hmm. in Buddhism. I think, yeah, Buddhism. And it's basically what I read. It's like, imagine just a whole bunch of monkeys running around in your brain, just talking. And I was talking to a friend and I was like, when I think of the monkey mind, I'm thinking of monkeys with cymbals and just making hella noise. Mm-hmm. That's all the chatter that you hear in your brain. So when you're going to therapy or doing therapeutic stuff for yourself, whether that's your journaling or however you connect to spirit, mm-hmm. you're lessening all the stuff that's going on in here, which then makes you feel better. It makes your body feel better. It makes your mind feel better. So it's really all
connected.
Mm-hmm. It's really one thing.
Yeah.
And I try to tell people that, like, listening to your mind and your heart is the same thing as listening to the negative thoughts that are in there. Mm-hmm. Or I can go on and on and on, but it's connected. And I want people to realize that it's not two distinct things. It's all comes together beautifully.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Okay. So in your practice, have you noticed any common challenges for Black individuals when it comes to mental health and spirituality, and how do those experiences manifest?
Before we get to that, I feel like it's something that you said that made me, I'm glad this was the next question. I honestly didn't know if that was the next question. I was hoping that was the next question because it was something you were saying, like, if you already wake up with, like, this perception that, you know, something bad is going to happen, a lot of people in poverty, not just Black people, mm-hmm. but we were accustomed to having, like, negative thought patterns and what's the word I'm looking for? Just scarcity mindset. So, yes, like, scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, that's really important to understand how to recognize that you're in a scarcity mindset. And it's, like, how do you tell somebody, still answering that first question, but, like, how do people even recognize those things? If they're just used to it because their grandma thinks that way, their dad thinks that way. Because I know when I lost my job and I was just like, I want to just focus on what I'm passionate about, everybody's like, no, you need to have a backup plan. What if something goes wrong and all this other stuff? It's like, no, I'm not happy. I want to, follow my dreams.
And then operating in that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because also, like, when clients will come to therapy and tell me about the thoughts they're having, it's important for me not to negate those thoughts and be like, girl, wake up tomorrow and imagine yourself having a good day. Because it's hard to do that, especially when it has become a habit for you to think from this mindset, for you to wake up and already be like, damn, I'm tired. Today is going to be shitty. Stuff like that. So going back to your question, can you say it one more time?
Yeah. In your practice, have you noticed any common challenges for Black individuals or even just people in poverty in general when it comes to mental health and spirituality, and how do those experiences manifest?
So, okay. The practice that I work at, we primarily see women of color. A lot of these women will come for, okay, it'll break up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll be like, I know this is my exact problem. And other times they'll be like, I'm just coming to see what comes up. But the two things that those two have in common is that it's always rooted from some type of anxiety where I'm not doing enough, where my job is demanding too much of me and I have to show up. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm showing up, then I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to addressing that, a lot of the times I try to peel back layers and bring up, well, let's talk about the strong Black woman thing, you know? And a lot of the time they'll be like, well, yeah, I never thought about that. But we're, I don't want to use the word programmed, but being a Black woman, you know, sometimes it feels like I have to do my best at this to prove that I am the best at what I'm doing, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And that makes you feel anxious all the time. Like somebody show up to work and let's say they're the only Black woman there. I have to show up and make sure I'm doing the right thing. So I can prove that to myself and prove that to other people. Because y'all not going to say, oh my gosh, she's not doing enough, da, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. But within that, when it comes to practicing that, a lot of people will say, or sometimes my clients will say, dang, why did God put me in this position, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we would have to go back. Mm-hmm. Why do you think God put you in this position? But it's also tricky because in school, they teach you not to bring up religion or spirituality at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that my job on our intake form, we have to ask, are you spiritual or religious? Mm-hmm. Some people will be like, don't bring that up at all, or wait for me to bring it up. I feel like I'm going all over the place, but when they'll say things like, why did God put me in this position? We talk about that. Why do you think God put you in this position? What messages are, do you think God is trying to send you? What messages are you getting from God? Mm-hmm. But to answer the first part of the question, anxiety, burnout, depression, and then sometimes people will question, why is the universe doing this to me? Or why is God doing this to me? And stuff like that. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was. In your practice, have you noticed any common challenges for Black individuals when it comes to mental health and spirituality? And then how do those experiences manifest? So, yeah.
So what you're saying is you don't... Do you feel like... Let's say we're oblivious to, like, generational curses. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it is generational curses? Or is it sometimes just, like... just a person's, like, environment that causes those things.
But that is generational curses. Generational curses are the patterns that are from your environment, from your family, from your situations. Yes and no,
because it can also be, like, depression can be inherited. That also adds to generational curses. I feel like it's both of us are right. But yeah. I'm talking specifically, like, on... For those who probably don't know about generational curses or just looking at it from a broader point of view, do you feel like it's just the generational curses or is it also like how we perceive our life, how we perceive the world? Is it that on top of the generational curses? Like, is it all the above that's causing the depression, anxiety, and et cetera? Like, what is the, from your point of view, like,
where do I think it comes from?
Yeah.
I think this is so funny because I'm studying for my exam and you making me, I'm like, okay, am I really studying? Because now you're making me think of these theories and stuff. But theories aside, I think it's really coming from experience with generational stuff and then mixed with the environment. Like, sometimes I had a new client told me she was really anxious. Mm. And as we talked about it, she started telling me about her mom and dad and stuff like that. And we're like, your anxiousness is coming from your parents always telling you, you need to be perfect at everything you do. So now she shows up like, am I doing things right? Am I putting my best foot forward? So I think a lot of the times we diminish the importance of childhood trauma. And when I say that, I mean, like, a lot of people think of trauma, they think of domestic violence or things like that. But trauma is anything that has wounded you or affected you. So I think that when we are considering how we're dealing with things, it goes back to us understanding where did this come from when I was little, yeah, and how is it manifesting now? Mm-hmm. So like perfection, for example, your mom telling you, you're the prettiest in the class, you got the best smile, you need to show up to school and get all A's. Oh yeah, my daughter did that, you know? Then you grow up and you're like,
you gotta always show up like that.
You have to always show up like that. Mm. Like your mom saying, you be the best at what you do, and you grow up, and if you're anything less than that, oh my God, I'm a failure. Or I'm not excelling at what I need to do. Girl, let me pass you the mic. Yes.
I'm like, you need that.
No, I don't need it. I'm just, my mom wasn't raised with a mom who was very like loving and encouraging. Mm-hmm. So my mom always made sure to give me that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that her reassuring me would cause, and I'm a perfectionist. I feel mm-hmm. like I've gotten better with it.
Yeah.
But growing up, I feel like that's part of the reason why I didn't go to college right after high school, because I was just like, I don't think I can live up to mm-hmm. doing that. And then I also didn't know what I wanted to do. But yeah. Damn, you just clocked but some
it's
shit.
Not like, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. Also, mm-hmm. I think it becomes, and I don't want to say bad, like,
yeah,
but you know, I get what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, but it, like, hold on, let me cook.
She cooking.
For real.
She cooking.
It comes with these beliefs that people placed on us when we were little mm-hmm. that we now feel like we have to uphold.
Exactly.
You told me this when I was little. Now I'm remembering that. So I have no other choice but to be best at what I can do, you know? And that's not to say, I mean, you always put your best foot forward, right? Mm-hmm. But then I think it becomes a toxic mindset with yourself when you're like, one fuck up and I'm doomed, right, you know? Yeah.
It's like the extreme mm-hmm. of it. It's yeah. like
she's
not
always
falling
telling
down
me, she's like, why do you feel like something's bad is going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been working on like not being so hard. That's what me and my therapist work on, is mm-hmm. me not being hard on myself, because I didn't know it came from that, man.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Damn.
It's a lot. It's so much.
It's easy for it to get belittled or like just swept under mm-hmm. the rug, because it doesn't seem like something that's like
yeah.
a major thing. But, and it's like in the grand scheme, it may not be,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but depending on how that thing is managed or like sustained in somebody's life or experiences, it can become a thing. It can become yeah. something major, and it can affect a lot of the decisions that are made, the choices, how you perceive life, how you perceive people in your life, and your reality in general.
Yeah.
And that's
even
crazy.
Even if you yeah. think about, like, even if you think about, y'all heard of attachment styles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got an anxious attachment style.
I do too.
I'm gonna
know that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Where did that come from?
It comes from your relationship with your caregivers when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop. Now I'm going to sound like a professor and stuff. But
hey,
you know this.
That's why we asked you to come on the show.
For real.
It comes from things that you received when you were little.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to us diminishing childhood trauma, what was your relationship with your mom and dad like? Was your dad or mom emotionally available to you? Was your mom or dad, you know, oh, come to me, it's okay if you're hurt, let's talk about it, stuff like that.
Mm.
I know for an anxious attachment, when I took the test, I was like, ooh, this is a little something. But yeah. I know one of the things anxious attachment comes from, is this person going to leave? Is this person, if you're in a relationship, for example, let's say it's fresh or something, you guys are getting to know each other, the person not texting back. An anxious mind would automatically go to, let me scroll up. Did I say something wrong that pissed them off? Are they with somebody else? Da, 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 da. And it comes from that constant need of
reassurance.
Yeah. I need you to tell me that I'm doing enough for you so that you don't feel like, let me go find it from somebody else. It's a lot.
That's insane.
It's a lot. But I think attachment styles is one of those things to, I always tell people, go take your attachment style quiz.
Yeah.
But also remembering that it can change.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were talking about the other day. I'm like, that's what it is right now at this moment with where you are right now.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I feel like with my upbringing and like my relationship with my parents, mm-hmm. and then going into that very first relationship that I had, like that relationship really assured that anxious attachment yeah. to the core. Like it was like, if you ain't got it, you got it now. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think now being in a healthy relationship, I'm learning to like maneuver out of that space and like actively make choices and decisions that rewrite narratives in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I can see the light going yeah. towards the other side of like secure attachment.
Yeah.
But there are still things where I'm like, yeah, I'm still very much.
But that's in okay. That. Yeah. Because I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people will say, I can't be in a relationship or I can't do this until I heal.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Oh,
yeah.
We had that conversation.
Oh, speak on this.
But if you think about it, we're going to be healing for ever. Our whole damn lives. And I think when you get into a relationship, of course, if you're not ready, don't jump. Of course, if you're not ready, don't jump into a relationship, because right. everybody is going, and this is me being honest, everybody is going to bring 1%, 5% mm-hmm. of baggage, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're in a relationship, that a healthy relationship, that will also give you the opportunity to work on things that you didn't even know.
Yes.
If your partner say something to you and you like, ooh, that kind of hit me. Why did that hit me? You know? So it makes you open up a whole new can of worms.
Can of worms.
Can I ask this? And then we got to get back to the questions. Uh-huh. Because you have couples therapy experience, when do you feel like it's enough time to be single, getting out of a relationship? Do you feel like it's an exact time or everybody's different? I know it's a very like broad question, but I'm curious. Like,
so what do you think about that? I haven't seen
somebody.
That's about asking for somebody.
I saw one couple, but it was because I was working with their daughter and we were talking mm-hmm. about co-parenting and stuff. But for your question, that's a person by person basis. Like, I will have some clients tell me that I broke up with so-and-so. Now I'm dating Patrick. And in my head, I'm like, damn, I know I couldn't just jump. But I think it depends on how do I want to spend my time when I'm single. Mm-hmm. But also going back to your attachment style. Mm-hmm. Do I feel like I always need to have somebody just because one thing didn't work out? Do I need to jump into the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's for you. I don't think anybody can tell you when it's the right time to do something or when it's the right time to pull out of something.
So you know yeah. that.
You know the things.
But I feel like a lot of people, I know this isn't just for me.
Yeah.
You it's know what I'm saying? So like, and then you were talking about attachment styles. So mm-hmm. I just,
yeah,
I felt the need, because I'm definitely that person, like, because I'm healing, I'm like, when am I ready? Like, am I ready yeah. now? I'm scared to start dating yeah. because I'm still healing. But I also know, like, you have to practice the things you're healing. You yeah. have to practice the things yeah. that you're learning. So mm-hmm.
and
I get that.
One more thing that I want to say, too, is that we talked about this before. Like, I always say you can only do so much healing in solitude.
She does, yeah.
Because when I tell yeah. you, like, I thought that I needed so much time to heal from my last relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I got introduced to a whole different kind of person
yeah.
that like assisted me with walking myself through the things that I didn't even mm-hmm. realize I needed to heal from. And it's like, I couldn't have done that by myself, because only yeah. somebody else can trigger these things in order for me to have to work on something.
She a therapist in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Many Black men are often taught to be strong and self-reliant, which can make the idea of seeking therapy feel difficult or even unnecessary. How do you approach and encourage Black men who are hesitant to engage in therapy, and how can they start to view it as a tool for growth rather than a sign of weakness? And I feel like since we're on the topic of like relationships, I feel yeah. like that's what I've been seeing a lot of young Black women mm-hmm. speak about, is that we're doing the work
mm-hmm.
yeah. emotionally, and we don't want to get in a relationship with somebody who's not doing the work. And yeah. then we feel like we have to like carry them in the relationship as well. So mm-hmm. like, how do we
show them that they have these tools,
that you know, utilize? That they can do? Because what I hear a lot is like, I was talking to a friend of mine. he was like, yeah, I feel like black men don't want to go to therapy because we weren't taught to be vulnerable. And then the only people we could really be vulnerable with is our girlfriends. But then they use it against us. I see men say that all the time.
Yeah.
They use it against us. And then our homies don't really, they got their own shit going on. So it's like, mm-hmm. who do we really talk to? We don't really talk to our parents because our parents taught us how to depress exactly depress them dishes. And it's like, it's scary to just talk to a stranger about how you feel when he's not even comfortable in his own skin to even just like talk to his people. So how do you approach that?
Let me look into this camera when I say this. Black men, you can very much go to therapy. Black women, you can be Black anybody, you can go to therapy. But I think that it is also, why am I talking to a stranger? Well, a client said that to me. I don't know you. I said, this is the perfect opportunity for you to tell me everything because you don't know me. But it's also that stigma too, right? If you go to therapy, you crazy.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to go to therapy? What's so wrong with you that you need to go talk to somebody else, or you can't pray about it, since mm-hmm. we talk about,
or smoke it out
or drink it out.
Yeah.
But it's challenging because you can say all these things to people and encourage them to go, but are you ready to do that? Like, I've had one male client and he cried in a session and he was like, damn, I can't believe I'm doing this. I would never do this in front of my friends. And I'm like, well, why not? And he was also going through a breakup and he was like, I don't want them to see me as weak, or I don't want them to know that I'm crying about a woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but this is great. This is a great opportunity for you to explore. Why don't you want to be crying about a woman? And mm-hmm. then I'll also say, how do you feel about me being your therapist? Because I'm a black woman, you know, and you're talking to me about all these things. But I say that all to say, you have to also have a village of people who make you feel like it's okay to indulge in those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're around somebody who's like, yeah, dog, I ain't going to therapy anyway. I'm not talking to people, but there can be that small part in that person that's like, well, damn, I was considering it. Mm-hmm. So now that you're telling me not to do it, I'm really not going to do it. Yeah, fuck therapy. Yeah,
that happens a lot.
Yeah.
They get influenced.
Yeah.
Social mm-hmm. influence.
Yeah.
So I think black men, black women, it's about surrounding yourself with people who are open to these ideas of therapy, who are mm-hmm. open to the ideas of, yes, you could talk to me. You could also talk to somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it also comes with making our community and our village know that you're not alone and all the things you're going through. Yeah, he was on the phone with his friend. Wasn't saying nothing. He was like, are you here? You sleep? He's like, I'm holding space for you. I'm just listening.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's so much importance and value in just having somebody to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be scary because you're going to a therapist and you're like, I don't know you. And now you just asked me about my trauma and shit, girl, who are you? But it also gives you the space to practice expression.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like I can't say this to my friend, I can't say this to my mom, a therapist is somebody. I tell clients every day, I said, what you got for me this week? Dump it all on me. And they be like, blah, blah, blah.
And
blah,
that's
blah.
The thing. It's like, I don't know you. It's like, exactly. You mm-hmm. don't know me. So because I have no significance in your life, you can just, mm-hmm. I'm like a wall. You can just throw it all in. Let me know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to see it, like changing that perspective of that. It's like, I don't want to just be talking to no random person about my mess, but it's like, it's good that they're a random person because it's like, there's no consequence.
Exactly.
There's no consequence mm-hmm. in anything that you say. Like, you can just get it all out.
Yeah.
And it will stay within that vicinity. Mm-hmm. I also want to touch on you saying, like, you don't, or what I took from what you were saying, you don't have to be going through something specifically mm-hmm. to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the biggest thing is like, just go to have somebody to talk to. Like, would you say that? Like, what are some reasons you feel like you would advocate for therapy? Just real quick.
Therapy gives you the opportunity to just lay it all out on somebody who won't judge you for it, mm-hmm. who won't say, won't give a biased opinion. And I think it's so good just to have somebody to talk, because sometimes we don't want to text our friends every day with stuff that we're going through. Yeah. But also, you don't have to have a specific thing that you're going through to start therapy. Mm-hmm. Some people will be like, I just want to come. I saw you guys practice on the website and I want to come. And then when you come and you don't have that expectation, you just like, I'm coming to come. That's one of the best experiences. You unravel a whole bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. So I think therapy just gives you the opportunity to let yourself be free in a space that's curated for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you will never have a therapist. Well, I hope not. You will never have a therapist that will push you and force you to talk about the uncomfortable things. But even when I'm having a consultation with clients, I will tell them, I'm going to challenge you. Mm-hmm. But if it's too much, you can push back on me and say, Imani, I don't want to answer this right now. I'm not comfortable answering this right now. But therapy is curated for you, which is mm-hmm. why I always say therapy is an art. And I compare it to a canvas. You can splash as many colors as you want. You can X things out. You could start over. It's no right or wrong way to do therapy or approach therapy, as long as you're coming in with an open mind and knowing that I'm doing this for the betterment of my mind, body, and spirit.
How do you know what therapist is right for you? I feel like that's why a lot of people are hesitant, because they have one, it didn't go well, so they just like, fuck it, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah. I always tell people therapy is not one size fits all. Mm-hmm. You can have a consultation and say, yeah, I'll try it with this therapist. And then you do the intake session and you're like, I don't want to work with them. So you have free range to jump around as many times as you want until you feel like, okay, I could work with this person. And I think that feeling is, this person makes me feel safe. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm talking to an authority figure. Yeah. Like, I'll tell people, I ain't your mama, I ain't your friend. I'm doing my job, but also I'm human too. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to cover up certain parts of you.
Yeah.
But also, I think you'll know, or a person can know when they're comfortable with that therapist, when they feel like, I can say all the crazy shit. Mm-hmm. I can say all of the things that I probably damn near don't even want to say while I'm by myself. And yeah. I'm just letting it out. So it's not one size fits all. You literally have to jump around until you feel like, I'm content with this person. Let's go for the journey. Let's go for the ride.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a good segue into the next question, which is, what are some simple actionable practices people can incorporate into their daily routine to bridge the gap between their mental health and spiritual well-being?
This is going to sound really cliche, guys, but the first thing that came to my mind was journaling. And a lot of people don't like journaling, because I know a lot of people say it feels forced. Like, yeah. I got to open up this journal. What am I going to write?
You've been talking in your voice memos.
That's your voice memo. It does?
Yeah. That actually does. It feels the opposite for me, because sometimes my energy is so much, I don't even have the like patience to sit and be writing and waiting to get stuff on paper. So I need to just talk it out, say whatever it is into that voice memo.
Yeah. I think of, if you're not a big journaler and you don't like voice memos, I think one thing that has shaped my days is coming up with things that I do in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Practicing more gratitude. What does gratitude mean to you when you wake up? What are you thankful for?
Mm-hmm.
I said this before, I listened to two songs in the morning. I threw a third one in there. Let me plug you guys. All About You by James, starts with an R. His last name starts with an R.
You can put it on the screen.
Yes. It's Just Another Fine Day in This Universe by Lenny Kravitz. And This Moment Is All There Is by Lenny Kravitz. So journaling, coming up with a ritual for yourself, even if that's like, I dedicate 5 minutes before bed to just sit in silence.
Yeah.
Like, there can be so much chaos in our day. Having something to do before you go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
having something to do when you wake up. Journaling is a good tool. Voice memos is a good tool. I thought of something and it completely slipped my mind. working out is a good physical release too.
Moving
your body. Yes. Mm. People often diminish how important it is to move your body.
Man, when so much energy.
It's so much energy. When I wake up in the morning, like, why are my shoulders all the way up here? Let me stretch. Let me do a couple deep breaths. Yeah. I think also doing a lot of stuff in the mirror has helped me. Being very transparent. I'm somebody who is growing to love their body. So in the morning, those two songs, I'm doing a little, hey, now I feel good. I'm just looking at myself and actually taking myself in and saying, okay, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through at the moment. But there's so much things, so much creative stuff that you can do that can help you just feel some type of equilibrium with yourself. So there's no right or wrong way to have a tool. Whatever you come with, it could be for you. It might not work for the other person, but.
Yeah. So I saw a video of Kendrick Lamar saying, like, every morning he looks at himself in the mirror for 5 minutes just to see his reflection. Because a lot of people are uncomfortable with their reflections.
Yeah.
So that allows him to just be confident in himself. So, yeah. How can someone tell that they're making progress in their spiritual and mental journey?
The first word that came to mind was acceptance.
Yeah.
And accepting, this is what I went through in my past, or shoot, this is what I went through 2 months ago, and this is how I'm choosing to move with it now. A lot of growth comes from acceptance. And not judging your past mistakes or judging past stuff that you went through. And also, I think letting go. I see a lot in my sessions when I know that some type of improvement has been made, when clients like finally let go of that negative thought they had, or finally let go of the person or the job or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when you let go and accept that you're letting go, then it's like, now I can take flight. Now I can do this. But even then, even when you make some sort of progress or improvement within the healing journey, you're literally going like this. So you can be fine and dandy today. And then tomorrow you're like, I'm back in my depressive slump. Mm-hmm. Now what? That could last for 2 weeks. But also, another way you can know that you're doing some type of improvement, going back to the judging, if you're not like, I done messed up my whole healing journey because I texted this guy, or I took 3 steps back, so now I'm just, I gotta start from base one.
Yeah.
It's never like that.
It's so not also, linear.
It's not, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. You're always gonna go up and down. So just accepting that, letting go of judgment of yourself, and also letting go of fear. Like, I know in sessions, some clients will be like, I'm hesitant to talk about this because if I talk about it, then I'm actually indulging in it, which means that I have to do some work to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's perfectly fine. But then again, we go at the pace that you want to go to.
Yeah.
Letting go of fear, letting go of expectations that you have for yourself, and saying, we broke up 2 years ago. I should be over this.
That should. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That is something my therapist clocked with me real quick. She's like, should, we taking that should out that vocabulary. Yeah. Should have, could have, would have, nothing, because it don't matter what you should have done or could have done.
What are you
going to do, and what did you do? That's that.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
No, I'm going to keep it because it's one more question. Yeah.
The last question is, to wrap up everything, if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would it be? It could be a couple pieces of advice.
If it feels, this is what my, is coming out the soul. If it feels deep to you, then it is in fact that deep to you.
I'm glad you said that.
And I say that because even myself, like, I will sometimes question how I'm feeling about things and be like, am I doing too much? Man. Or is this person just an ass, you know? But then it's also like, if it feels that deep to me, then it is very much that deep. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because it's like, I don't want to be seen like I'm doing too much. I don't want to fall out with a friend if I speak up about this.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So if it's that deep to you, it's that deep to you. Can I do like two more?
Yeah.
Okay. I also thought of your feelings are valid and your behavior is not. Mm-hmm. You can feel certain type of things. You can't treat people like shit just because you're mad at the world today. And my last one is always going to be finding out what authenticity means to you. I think when you actually step into this is who I am, life be lifing. Mm-hmm. And you will still have your days where you're like, is this really who I am? Or is this really what I like to do? Yeah. Like you said, healing is not linear. So you're always going to be figuring that out. But also paying attention to what makes me feel like my most authentic self.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
I love it. The first one was needed. Yeah, definitely. I needed that. I needed that for sure.
I'm from a heart of a woman.
I was screaming. That was a good combo. It was. That was a cute.
I like that. It's okay. You know?
Yeah, it's like boom.
Yeah. Well, how can we find you? Yeah. Like, what are your actually, before we get to that, for people out there who may not be in Chicago, what are some websites or resources that they can go to look for therapy?
Psychology Today is a good website. You can add or adjust, like, do I want a woman? Do I want a woman of color? Do I want a Black woman? Things like that. Also, Therapy for Black Girls is another good resource. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Therapy for Black Girls. But also, if you are looking for, like, particular practices in of color, you can literally type on Google therapy practices of color near me or in the city, wherever you're from, and it will give you a list. Also, another good resource is calling the back of your insurance card and saying, I'm interested in seeking mental health services. Can you send me a list of practices that aren't in network? And it'll be a hefty list, but you have to go through and see what fits for you.
That's how good. Can we find you?
You can find me at Imani the Therapist. My name is Imani the Therapist. That's my Instagram. If you're looking for a new therapist, I work at Reclaiming Minds Therapy and Wellness, and we have a whole bunch of practitioners of color. Come on, take a look, see what you like. Period. And yeah.
Yay! This is great. Hopefully you guys are able to receive something from this. And do we want to leave them with the journal prompt?
Yes.
Your journal prompt is, when icky feelings arise, how do I cope? Let the pen flow. Let the voice speak. Do what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. Period. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. You guys can follow us on Instagram at @when_you're_ready_podcast. And we're on YouTube, Spotify, all the platforms. And yeah,
I can't wait to hear from you guys. Please comment how you feel about this video. How do you feel about journaling, therapy? And hopefully these tools will help you along your mental health journey. And we're so happy that you guys came and listened and watched us. And until next time.
Peace.